This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome to the Annie Fry Show. It's Tuesday, and it's great to be here. We are going to have a great show for you coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to Andy McCarthy, and he's going to come on and join us to discuss the Penny verdict. And this is the Daniel Penny verdict coming back yesterday, criminal negligence, not guilty, and then the initial manslaughter charge coming back as they couldn't agree on it. And then my understanding is, legally speaking, that the judge dismissed that charge because they couldn't come to an agreement on it. I've heard that there's a possibility that Bragg could go back and try to prosecute that again, but there is civil litigation that will happen in the wake of Daniel Penny and his chokehold that he put on Neely that caused the death. I guess that's the question of Neely, and whether or not there's going to be some civil responsibilities for Daniel Penny there. All of that set aside, there is now unrest in New York City. Again, predictable, possibly a shame, absolutely. Have you seen some of these videos of these people who are going up to the podium? Have you seen the one? I don't know that we have a clip here, but I'm not going to play it because, well, let's see. Do you have it? Is it bleeped out and everything, I hope?
The clip that I have has no issue with audio or with
cut three.
Yeah, that one's bleeped out.
Okay, yeah. I want to make sure before we play.
Because to be real, they didn't even try. Once the lesser charge was removed, they came back an hour later and said it was deadlock. Less than an hour and 20 minutes later, they said not guilty. These wonderful white people, I hope they celebrate their Christmas while the Neely family is praying and asking God for comfort. Them and America.
GD them and GD America. And this is while she's calling out white people. Can we officially push back on racism in this capacity? This is absolutely racist. Do you know that part of the details of the story of what took place in that subway car, there was an African-American man kneeling down next to Neely, helping him subdue this man. There was a black woman who testified on behalf of Daniel Penny and his innocence. These people are absolute morons and they're dangerous.
Yeah. The grifters, excuse me, they're grifters and they don't care. They're intentionally keeping themselves blind to facts. And then even if they do know the actual facts of the case, they're choosing what they want to portray to a lot of low information people to try to basically just rile them up for their own purposes. This is really, really disgusting grifting, and it's lying. It's just lying.
They've been deceived, but they haven't done what is the phrase? The work in order to inform themselves of what is true. Not in this case, and not in the broader sense of what they're advocating for. I think it's really important right now in this moment in time to spotlight these idiots who are trying to sow chaos in the streets of New York City, trying to sow fear in the people of New York City over this incident. They're following a playbook that has been successful in the past, and we now have the opportunity to put our hand up and say, stop, we're not doing that this time. We're not going to stand by and be idly quiet because we're afraid of being called something that we know that we aren't. We are not racists when we say that this is not a racial issue. The people who were there and who were present at the time said, that Daniel Penny acted on behalf of the safety and security of the other people there. And he protected people of all skin colors that were present with the help of people of diverse skin colors who were present. And listening to, I mean, I just see this in a different light in 2024 than I did in 2020. Yeah. 2014 here in Ferguson, St. Louis, because it felt very new. It felt like uncharted territory to be having the conversations that we were having then, even though we know here in St. Louis, the hands up don't shoot lie, that you will I guarantee you could go somewhere, and depending on how big that protest gets in New York City, the hands up don't shoot sign is going to be somewhere. That is a bold-faced lie. One of the reasons I'm happy to have such a wonderful 1 o'clock hour here on the Annie Fry Show. Annie McCarthy to start the hour off, and then at 1:25 we're connecting with Senator Eric Schmidt. You want to talk about people who can advocate for the rule of law and the order of society based on the rule of law? The reason why, and this is a big, big discussion that I hope we don't miss having in this moment in time, watching what's taking place leading up to, during, and after the Daniel Penny, is it Jordan Neely?
Mm-hmm.
Tragedy. I mean, it's a tragedy that somebody who was having a psychotic episode that was throwing his life away on drugs and threatening people had to be in the position he was in that subway car. That is a tragedy. He is somebody's family member. And the fact that he was, that's the ultimate demise is sad. But he doesn't get to put other people in harm's way because that story is sad. And isn't that the bottom line foundational thought process for the reform of law and order in our country, which is somebody has a sad story and we're not paying attention to that sad story. So everybody else is supposed to sit down and shut up about it. Everybody else is supposed to sit, you know, like if you're talking about victims and victims' rights, and then all of a sudden the perpetrators, the criminals, end up being the victims. That's how you get lawless subway cars. That's how you go from place to place and you don't feel safe and secure anymore. And we're in the city of St. Louis. Not a lot of people feel safe in the city of St. Louis. And if you are safe in the city of St. Louis, the people who are in charge of the marketing for the city are not doing a very good job exemplifying it for the people who they want to come here to do business, the people they want to come here to develop business, the people they want to come tour. We have put the safety and security of innocent people on hold so that we can recreate the idea of what a victim looks like in this country. And then you get into this kind of like very inverted scenario where there's somebody acting like a crazy person on a subway car. Someone steps in, neutralizes the situation. It ends, unfortunately. I don't think that if Daniel Penny could, I think if he could snap his fingers right now and bring Jordan Neely back to life, I think he would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he wanted to end his life in any way, shape, or form. But he stood up and stepped in a moment where somebody like him needed to step up and step in, and he chose to do it, and he risked a lot by doing it.
Yeah, he did. You know what makes me really proud is you were talking about all these incidents since 2014, starting with Ferguson. There's been a lot of incidents like this. And I think that all of us, especially here in St. Louis in 2014, as a nation, as a community, we asked a question there for a moment. We asked it over and over for probably a decade and said, are we missing something here? Are we an unjust society in some ways? Are people pointing out something that we've missed? And we all collectively asked that question for a long time because we're very compassionate. We are a very, very, very compassionate people, and we want to make sure that everybody's fair. We really do. We seek it out constantly. And we've sought it out for now a decade and determined that actually the unfairness in this system is the people who are using this compassion against us. And so the Daniel Penny case is big because it was America's moment through New York, of all places, to say, no, we're done with this. We see justice where it is. We see that this man is innocent, and we're going to declare it so.
It's not lost on me that a lot of this really grew out of St. Louis. We do have a very racially divided area here in the greater St. Louis. We have a lot of diversity here, but there are a lot of neighborhoods that are divided among race. There are a lot of conversations that can happen in order to improve life in a place like St. Louis. Those conversations can be had. Talking about like rehabilitation is a good conversation to have, but it went way further than the conversation of trying to restore communities. We don't talk about in that conversation restoring families. We don't talk about in that conversation restoring the father figure in the home. We don't talk about restoring faith in the home. We just try to find a new perpetrator and point our fingers so people can profit off of it. And you don't even really have to, you don't even really have to go that far into the conversation to see that now it's not even intricately placed to the people to consume. It's just white people. That's all there is to it. It's just white people. Here's the founder of BLM Greater New York.
We need some black vigilantes.
That's right.
People want to jump up and choke us and kill us for being loud. How about we do the same when they attempt to oppress us?
Right.
I'm tired.
Tired.
Calling for black people to kill white people? That's what we're seeing here from Hawk Newsom, the founder of BLM of Greater New York. We have to be smarter than this. We have to rise above this. We have to call our heroes heroes, and that includes people like Daniel Penny, and it also includes law enforcement. It also includes people who put their life on the line to protect these communities. That also means within law enforcement, and they do, calling out the bad ones. All important conversations. There is no skin color that is all good or all bad. There is no profession that is full of all good people or all bad people. It's always more nuanced than that. And any time in politics or in some sort of demographic or isolated culture that you try to blanket statement about any of those people, whether it's black lives or blue lives or infant lives, whatever it is, we have to have an honest conversation about the details of each individual situation that we're faced with, and be able to have that conversation in an intellectual way, not one that stokes anger and riles people up. For what cause? What is the end game for somebody who says something like that? What is the outcome for somebody who is talking about that kind of revenge? There isn't one. It's just violence. There's no solution that comes. There's nothing that could be said to appease that type of attitude.
No, it's the ends that they're looking for are basically total social upheaval. They're not looking for something that's going to make people's lives better. They're actually looking just for destruction.
Which means that we have to be willing to have, you know, difficult conversations. That's something that is often said. I've taken my fair share of training in these things, to be open to difficult conversations. Yeah, absolutely. But those have to be conversations. Those are two-way discussions. And I think that the thing that we have missed for 10 years is the response. There's been so much silence. There's been so much quiet that has existed behind the pushback from people who have been, you know, in many cases, I think, justifiably angry, frustrated with the status quo. People who look to profit off of those individuals lay deeply in the anger part of it and thought, the angrier I can get them, the better it is going to be for me. And no problems got solved. And now we don't have law and order in our streets or in our subway cars. And the great tragedy of this, Daniel Penny, in my opinion, being in a position in a city where Alvin Bragg is busy chasing after the likes of, you know, the big criminals, the Donald Trumps, in a bootstrapped case against some federal charge that they couldn't actually land, and they passed on doing and trying to stick it in Manhattan so that Alvin Bragg can spend all of his time trying to do what he campaigned on doing, which is getting Donald Trump. That's the crime that this man wants to go after, that and Daniel Penny. Maybe go after the real criminals. Maybe work on getting in your city instituted more safety and security measures so people can travel safely on the subway car. Put some of your counseling services that you often want to replace police officers with, put them on the subway cars so they can mitigate these types of situations and circumstances. But in the absence of enforced law and order, people are calling Daniel Penny a vigilante. I'm calling him a hero. Because in the midst of chaos, he tried to neutralize a situation to protect the people who were in harm's way. And it is a tragedy. It is very sad that it ended the way it did. But we don't have a culture. We don't have a societal understanding of good and bad anymore. And that's a very intentional outcome of the last 10 years of what we've been dealing with. And listening to people in the streets of New York City talk about racial revenge of that magnitude, we've got to put that conversation right where it needs to be right away. There needs to be a rapid response. Discuss the issues that matter, but this type of just unfettered, unchecked outrage and threat needs to be stopped. And it needs to be stopped by culture and society. People going, no, we're not doing it. Nope. This time we're not doing that anymore. There are so many opportunities that we have in the next 4 years. If you're somebody who's happy that Donald Trump won, whatever. There are so many opportunities to walk the walk of the talk that you've been talking for the last 4 years. Opportunities to show up, opportunities to be charitable with, if you don't have the money, with your time. Opportunities to reach into communities that maybe you didn't feel comfortable in before, but trying to figure out how to be a neighbor to somebody in need. Those opportunities are everywhere. And in the midst of 10 years of sitting down and being quiet because you felt like that was the nice, right thing to do, now it's time to, you don't even have to open your mouth, but you do have to move your feet. Put your feet in motion and be helpful and bridge these gaps, these divides with your actual action. You're going to have an opportunity to do that tomorrow at Ruler Foods in St. Charles. We're going to have our food drive out there. Annual food drive. This is one of my favorite days of the year.
Yeah, this is where we get to actually, you know, get out of the studio, which is always a lot of fun, and just go meet with you guys and see good things happening, as we've said many, many times before, not waiting on the government to do good things in our community.
Yeah.
We're out there doing it.
It's on us.
Yeah.
And we need to show up, and we need to show that we can do that, that you don't have to rely on money laundering through government taxes in order to find its way back to the people who need it. Your dollar can do a lot more good going to Ruler Foods tomorrow in St. Charles, buying a can of something that somebody else can put on their shelf to feed their family. And that help stays right here in St. Louis. That's the great thing about our partnership with Ruler Foods and this food drive. Everything that we're going to do right here, it's to help our community, and it's through your generosity. So when we come back, we're going to bring into the studio with us Meredith Knopp. I can't wait to talk to her about what the St. Louis Area Food Bank does for people, Missouri and Illinois alike. This is a bi-state region, is it not? How can we come together this holiday season? That smile that you might have on your face a little bit more often these days, how do you give that smile to somebody else? Meredith Knopp and the St. Louis Area Food Bank will tell us next.
In order as we celebrate the end of our Thanks for Giving campaign with Ameren to benefit the St. Louis Area Food Bank, First Alert 4 viewers helped all through November to raise money, with Ameren promising to match those donations all the way up to $200,000. Well, today we were there for the big check presentation from Ameren, but in total, we're told you helped raise more than $550,000.
Wow, that is an amazing amount and great success that was had over the Thanksgiving holiday for our very own St. Louis Area Food Bank. And we are very honored to have in studio with us right now the president and CEO of the St. Louis Area Food Bank, Meredith Knopp. Meredith, thank you for being here today. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Annie.
So this is the season of giving.
It is.
But it's also the season of buying. And I can imagine that area food pantries are seeing is there an increase in people coming to get their pantries full from the local food food pantries around the area?
There really is. We're seeing a lot of people, a lot of working families coming. You know, they're saying, you know, it works until the end of the month when things are tighter.
Yeah.
And so we are seeing more people and more people around the holidays who are trying to balance, you know, how you pay those bills, how you pay those property taxes, you know, yeah. and provide food for your families. And so it's hard.
So the St. Louis Area Food Bank, how long has it been in function here? How did the St. Louis Area Food Bank come together to be such a huge operation that it is now?
So we actually were founded back in 1975. So do the math. Next year marks 50 years of service and impact. And so we have been around. We have grown. We serve 26 counties in Missouri and Illinois, almost 600 food pantries. So odds are, if you know of a food pantry, you visited a food pantry, you have one in your church, they probably had food originate from the St. Louis Area Food Bank.
So Meredith, when people, I think this is a really key important part because especially, you know, we all three here live in Illinois. When people think about the St. Louis Area Food Bank, I just ignorantly would think, okay, well, that's those people.
Yes.
Or if I'm living in
the river.
If I'm living in the counties, the collar counties outside of the St. Louis area, that the St. Louis Area Food Bank is like, I'm happy to donate. Okay, fine. But it's not coming to my community. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the connection between the St. Louis Area Food Bank and my local food pantry.
Sure. And it absolutely is. Money that comes in from Illinois goes back out to Illinois. So people don't realize that we are serving Illinois 12 counties as far as Pinckneyville all the way down to Carbondale. So if you're in earshot of your show, odds are the food pantry in your location, in your community is getting their food from the St. Louis Area Food Bank, which might sound counterintuitive with our name, but we are definitely having a huge presence in the Illinois communities that we serve.
Yeah. Each year we talk about that. And the first time I heard that, I was kind of surprised to hear, like, oh, this is like a really gigantic operation and a way for our show specifically to have an impact on such a wide range of communities throughout the course of the St. Louis Bi-State area. We're speaking with Meredith Knopp. She's in studio with us. She is the president and CEO of the St. Louis Area Food Bank. Talk to me about what the needs are, because, you know, the things that you can purchase and leave in a food bin somewhere or something like that, there's probably better items to buy than others.
Sure. And so we are really focusing in on a healthy holiday season. So we're asking viewers to donate those things. We talk about proteins. We talk about, you know, vegetables and fruit that are low sugar, that are low salt, right? We can all have those items, but looking at your pantry, looking at your kiddos, looking at what they want to eat, but making sure that we're choosing those healthy choices. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm anti-ramen noodle, but really, like, we don't need to be providing ramen noodles. We want to treat people with dignity and respect. So think of what you would want to serve your families this holiday season. And that's what we're asking people across the bi-state region to donate to the St. Louis Area Food Bank.
That might be not the right question for me to ask myself.
I was just
going to
say, and now Ryan Wiggins, you should take some of those tips.
Hi, Ryan.
I pretty much just want to serve funnel cakes to everybody.
Right.
You want to spread joy and sugar.
I just want, you know, like sour worms and regular worms, like both things. But no, I was going to ask you, how long have you been involved with St. Louis Area Food Bank?
So I have actually been there. It will be 7 years in February.
So have you, that's long enough. Have you seen an ebb and flow to both donations when, you know, both times are better versus times are worse? And likewise, does that translate to people in need when times are better versus worse?
We certainly have. So the economy and the economic situation has a direct impact to what we see. Now, obviously, COVID affected everybody.
That'd
right?
Be crazy.
And so that was just the anomaly. We'll just put an asterisk by that. But usually we see in times when the economy is doing well, there are fewer people. There are more people that are employed. There are more people making higher wages. And so less need, which is great for us, because then we can focus in on our programming to reach potentially different people. We can focus in on our school markets. We can focus in on transitioning people and transforming their lives so they don't need us in the first place, which is a wonderful thing to say and counterintuitive considering that's my job.
Do you hear a lot of, oh yeah, you know, everybody's heard of you, but it comes time of year like this, people go, oh yeah, I really meant to do that? And do events like the one we're doing tomorrow really make an impact?
They really do. We hit there a lot. People will say, like, oh, we know you, we know our food bank in our area. We are the food bank. What they're referring to are the food pantries,
okay,
which are wonderful partners for us, almost 600 strong. They are the ones who are on the front lines each and every day, and they're getting that information. They're telling us, hey, Meredith, we need more protein. We need more soups. We need more fresh vegetables. We need more dairy. So we're getting our feedback and our data, if you will, from those 600 pantries on the front lines in Illinois and Missouri. And they're the ones who are telling us what we need, and they're the ones who are helping us make those strategic decisions. So food drives like tomorrow are critical because they are going to help stock pantries during the holiday season.
Meredith, there's a kind of person that comes into my head when I think about people who are in need. And yet, when so I have some rental houses, and so I have a lot of people who are asking about this, and so I see credit reports, and I see stuff, you know, people's economic situations that I wouldn't usually in just a job like this, but I see where they're at. And these are not like people that are in my head that need food. We're talking about people who are just living regular lives, but the cost of everything has gotten so out of control that they've almost lost the ability to kind of manage their household. And so is that where you're seeing people stepping up to you who maybe not in the past wouldn't have been saying, maybe I need to go to a food bank to kind of make ends meet this month?
Sure. And we see that a lot. You know, we see people who are working a full-time job or multiple jobs. We're seeing people come to us, maybe they had a car accident. Maybe they had an unforeseen medical situation, right? Medical costs are astronomical, right? And so people who don't plan for that, they go for a checkup and all of a sudden something isn't right, and now they need medical care. These are people who are coming to us because when you have to make those impossible choices, do I pay for the medicine that is quite literally going to save my life or save my child's life? Or do I put food on the table? We don't want anyone to have to make those impossible choices.
We're speaking with President and CEO of the St. Louis Area Food Bank, Meredith Knopp, in studio with us. So we are going to be broadcasting live for our annual Christmas food drive at Ruler Foods in St. Charles. It's tomorrow from noon to 3. And we really want an obnoxious amount of donations. I'm just going to put it out there.
Let's go for it.
It needs to be gratuitous, overflowing. To put it in Quick Rick's words on the YouTube live chat, tell them to get all their backroom stock out on the shelves before we get there tomorrow. That's from Quick Rick. And we have really, really been overwhelmed with the generosity of the Annie Fry Show audience. Everything that we do tomorrow is going right back into the community through the St. Louis Area Food Bank. Meredith, can other people, if they're interested in doing a food drive, maybe through a network of churches or community centers, how do they connect with you in order to set those types of things up?
Well, the answer is yes. I would ask anyone to visit our website, stlfoodbank.org, and there are drop downs there. You can either give food, give funds, or give your time. So those are the three things I tell people we need any day. Hunger doesn't take a holiday, so food, funds, and friends. And people can sign up to have their very own food drive. They can get online. They can actually see a list of our most needed items. And it is so easy to do that. They can do it on their own if they want us to drop off food collection barrels. We're happy to do that. And at the end, we actually will weigh that food and tell them the impact that they have personally made. And so I think that's the difference with the St. Louis Area Food Bank with other organizations is people can see that. And then we invite them to come out to a distribution, see the people who are on the receiving end, see the gratitude, feel the hugs, see the emotions of the kiddos that are going to get that wonderful food for the holidays. And they don't have to wonder, you know, instead of saying, you know, what's for dinner? It's, is there anything for dinner? Those are very different conversations that nobody in the bi-state area should have.
It's a really important thing for people to understand the different ways that you can help, and you can sign up to have your own food drive. But also, I want to make sure that people understand, I have done this. 97.1 and our sister stations went to the St. Louis Area Food Bank. We learned how to do the whole assembly process, and we put together packages, boxes. I think we did it around the Thanksgiving holiday when we went. But it was a really fulfilling, really wonderful team activity. So if you have an organization, a group, if you want to take your office, you can go to stlfoodbank.org. That's stlfoodbank.org and learn how to sign up to do this process and very quickly make a difference. Did you have something you want to say, Brad?
Yeah, it was along those lines. I'm a youth pastor as well as a producer, and I was wondering, are there opportunities, like she was talking about bringing a group, is there opportunities there to bring younger people to come and help?
Yes, yes. And so children as young as 5 years old. When I started back at the food bank, my daughter was in kindergarten. And so she has been a part of the food bank family, and now she's in seventh grade. So kids as young as five can come with their families. Don't drop off your kids. We don't want to do that. Right. Come with your families and make it a family
event.
Wait a
second. You might be onto something.
Annie, I see your wheels spinning.
Hold on a second. Wait.
Right?
When you say kid, what age are you talking about?
Yeah. Young at heart, right? Yeah. So kids as young as five, and we've had, you know, people bring in multiple generations of families, and they do this annually to give back. And it's a wonderful way for families just to come together and recognize just how, you know, blessed they are and to give back to someone who maybe is going through a rough patch, help them through that. It's providing much more than food. It's providing that hope and letting them know that someone cares about them, because we all need help in our lives at some point. And to some people, it just looks like food this holiday season.
I really think that would be a fun way. We do... my mom's side of the family gets together for a Christmas party every year, and we also get together, our summer big get together is a golf scramble, and just some amazing golf happening. It's not really that amazing, but it's a ton of fun. But it would be also very cool to get, if you had an extended family reunion, to be able to come in and do something like that and then go out to a picnic or something after the fact.
And we have people to do that. We've had kiddos have their birthday parties there. I mean, we have space for people to gather. You can bring in food and beverages and just have a good time gathering and doing something good for somebody else this year.
Got so many ideas right now. they all revolve around you, Ryan.
Well,
I'm
going to
drop you off at the food bank.
That's fine. I mean, you can do that all you want, but I just want to remind people that tomorrow, one of the things that we all love is not just seeing you and the donations, it's the hugs.
Oh, shut up.
So, you know, if you see Brad, if you see Annie, huge hugs.
Food is love.
Listen,
I'm not going to turn down a hug. But I really don't like hugging.
I didn't know you weren't a hugger.
No, not much.
No, I mean, Ruler Foods tomorrow, noon to 3, we'll be broadcasting at the St. Charles Ruler Foods location. We want you to come out. We want to see you first and foremost. We're going to have some things to give away tomorrow as well. I don't know, supplies are limited, but come out and see us. Come out and say hi. And, you know, if you come out and you don't have time to shop, we've been, every time we do this, we get handfuls of cash, and then Ryan gets to supermarket sweep Ruler Foods.
It's pretty fun.
Is this one of the best days of your year, going to supermarket sweep Ruler Foods with a wad of cash?
Well, it's funny because over the years now, I have a little bit better strategy. The first year, I didn't know what I was doing, and I was just running around with my arms out.
That's the story of your life.
But now I know from talking to you guys
protein,
a little bit more about which ones to get more, which ones last longest, which ones are more nutritious, and what you're looking for the most. So I have a little bit more pointed strategy than I used
to.
There
you go. Yeah. So if folks want to show up and they want you to shop for them, that usually happens in the last segment of the show. You've gone out and bought $2,000 worth of food that we are able to shop with a very particular focus in mind, knowing that the food bank wants things like peanut butter or, you know, beans or whatever it might be that they tell us their particular need is. And in the past, you've had some needs that are different than others, so we can be very targeted in that way as well. And it's very funny to, we usually live stream Ryan going through the store. and the amazing thing, what ends up happening almost every year, we'll see if it happens again this year, is Ryan will go in the store and he's got like a $2,000 budget to get stuff off. But while we're doing that, people are coming and we're like, we got another $100. And he's like, okay. And then he goes back into the store and gets another cart full of things.
Yeah, I can't.
You were buying pallets of things last year.
Well, yeah, that's true. Because the best stuff, you want the most of it. Because I can't buy things. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. I can't just walk around being like, I think I'm going to have like three of these things of hummus, you know, and some frozen vegetables and things. Like, there are certain things you can't really get, but others that you can get a lot of. So I try to get all of that, but it ends up being so many carts that it's like
we line them up at the front of the store while we're going through, and the checkout people are having a great time, and it's just so endearing.
And so if you show up, and people do this tomorrow, you know, show up in the 11 o'clock and be like, "Well, I know you're not broadcasting yet. That's fine. We'll be there." So pretty much from the time like 10:30 on, we'll be setting up. And if you can't make it between noon and 3 when we're on, you know, stop by. And of course, the 2 o'clock hour is a lot of fun because like the momentum is kind of peaking right then. So whenever you can get there, though.
Meredith, thank you.
St. Charles.
St. Charles, Ruler Foods. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. And thank you guys for all what you do. It's fantastic. I love the energy. And I now have a vision of what's going to happen at 2 o'clock tomorrow. So I may have to stop by.
Please do. Please do. Especially in the 2 o'clock
please
hour.
Please be my advisor.
Okay.
I could really use it.
I can be like your secret shopper.
Yes.
There you go.
Absolutely. We need it.
But I know who you are, so it's not much of a secret.
It'd be a secret for everyone else. We'll get her one of those
Don't
costumes.
Don't look at her. Look at me.
There you go.
That also is the story of my life with you. Meredith Knopf, the president and CEO of the St. Louis Area Food Bank. Visit them online right now, stlfoodbank.org. And yes, please, please, please come out and see us tomorrow at Ruler Foods in St. Charles. But also, go to stlfoodbank.org and put your talk into your walk and show up and make a difference. Wiggins America next.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Is this Carrie?
Sure is.
Rock mouth.
Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
I don't love that Brad's videotaping
Keep
this.
Going. Put your phone down.
You
Put your
can't
phone down.
Hear on the phone
Put your phone down,
I'm...
Brad. Just...
Okay, thank
He's
you.
Done. Now go. Rejoices, give the people what they want, Ryan. Specifically me.
Breaks a new and glorious morn.
All right, now. This is Ethan's first time.
The Christmas tradition.
Hey, it's the money shot. Now let's go.
Why the hell did he nail that?
I know. You're not sure if it's that bad or that good. That's the scary part of it.
When Christ was born.
Take it home, Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't kid around.
Genuinely, genuinely no words. No words for that.
Amazing.
It's strong. I don't, you know, you get older. Stevie Nicks has this problem.
What?
You can't hit all the range that you used to. So my vocal coach has been telling me to focus more on
Mark Cox,
my bread and butter. Yeah, Mark Cox.
Which is what? What's your bread and butter?
Falsetto. And so I have been.
You're not sure if it's that bad or that good. That's the scary part of it.
This I don't like.
Christ was
See? The problem is, this is what everybody sounds like when you take off auto-tune.
That's not wrong.
Especially Stevie Nicks.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
That actually is a Christmas tradition.
It's a Christmas
staple. We do
staple.
That once a year at least around
I said
this
to
time.
Ethan today, I said, we need a Carrie Underwood version of A Holy Night. It's time. And he's like, I could do it today if you want.
So, mm-hmm.
No time like the present. Could have done it tomorrow at Ruler Foods.
No.
Now that would have been something.
See, we never get invited back.
Only you guys are in the studio. At Ruler, everybody gets to hear the version.
Would you have done it if it played tomorrow?
No, I don't think so.
He sure would.
I think that if maybe I had pulled in a few of the Ruler's workers with me as like a background choir,
like a
and
choir?
They were holding candles, then yes. These are wellness tips to help you have a great week. We're going to run all the way through these here in about a minute and a half.
How good is this segment?
It's not very good.
Well, then we won't punt.
It's not very good.
Well, you already peaked.
That's not true. There is some interesting stuff here. Wellness tips that
you want to give us a tease and we can revisit.
I think I do.
You just said it's not a good segment.
It's not, but you know we can really spit shine some things here. Blowing your nose the right way, for instance. Did you know there's a wrong way?
No, I don't think I did.
You're going to in the 2 o'clock hour. Have you ever heard of retro?
Everyone's going to be real nervous to blow their nose in the 1 o'clock hour.
In the 1 o'clock hour, if you blow your nose wrong,
it's on you.
It's okay.
I just blew my nose before I came in studio.
Well, we got
and
some
now
tips
I'm really
for
nervous
you.
If I messed it up.
Yeah, we got some tips for you.
Okay, did you blow it?
Retro walking. You know, there's ways to walk now that people used to walk. It's kind of coming back.
I think your first assessment of the segment was probably the right one.
Nailed it.
A musical treadmill workout. And then just some things that you can maybe bring to your next Christmas party. Some trends and things that you can bring to Christmas parties to make everybody love you.
Are they healthy things? Because you know what people really love is when you show up with the health food.
They are. They're healthy things. But they're also tasty. They're not just, you know, good for you. They're good. You know, it's not like those chalky bars that they're like, these are good for you. And you're like, I hate them, though.
You know anybody who's vegan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had them come to you and be like, it tastes just like normal, but it's vegan. And then you taste it and it's like, doesn't even taste like food.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you fake that it's good?
No. Usually,
I don't think Ryan could fake it if he tried.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he could try.
I actually, one time, this is a longer story than we have time. But
also
one time,
in the 2 o'clock hour.
I tried
we're going to be doing the 3 o'clock hour. For
some margarita. Health chips at a Blimpies.
No.
And I was like, why did I eat these? These are terrible. And I went up to the clerk and I'm like, listen, these are the worst things I ever put in my mouth.
These are a lie.
And, yeah. And he was like, this is a little too intense for me right now working
at Blimpies.
And then Blimpies
went out of business.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ryan.
Because of that?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's talk to Andy McCarthy and Eric Schmidt next.